Welcome back to Leadership Portraits Podcast. So today's guest is someone I really enjoy talking to. Her name is Jen Wyatt. She runs a company called Elite Biz Ops, and she's been in the operations world for several years now, helping business owners get organized, get out of their own way, and build teams that actually function without them having to be involved in every single detail. But what I love about Jen is that she's not your typical systems and process person. She has an art and fashion background, which really spoke to me. She built her business while moving her family across the country multiple times with her military spouse. And she brings this really interesting mix of creativity and structure to everything she does. We talked about leading in a post-COVID world, what she thinks about AI in the workplace, and how she manages her own time as a fractional expert. And honestly, just what it takes to build something sustainable without burning yourself out. And my favorite part of the conversation was really getting to jump into talking about creativity and how we can use that in our careers and in our work lives. I think you're really going to enjoy this podcast, and hopefully as much as I enjoyed participating in the conversation. So let's get into it.
Hey there, welcome. I'm here with Jennifer Wyatt, or she goes by Jen. I have to remember that. Hey Jen, how is your day going? Can you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm Jen Wyatt. I run a business called Elite Biz Ops. I've been in business for, about 11 and a half years. I started my business because I was tired of my kids being in daycare, and I wanted to spend more time with them and I need a more flexible schedule. My husband's military, so he was often gone. So I started my business there, just building on the skills that I had from working in the corporate world. I live in North Carolina currently, but I've lived in many states across the United States. I started in California and ended in Colorado and Florida and North Carolina. So I moved around a lot. So it's been really great to have my own business and to be able to function without having to, look for work and find jobs and all that kind of stuff. I have my MBA. I got that kind of mid-career. My undergrad is in art, which is totally random. When people ask me, they're like, art and now business. And really, I fell in love with the business side of fashion design because that's more my undergrad is in art and fashion design. I fell in love with the business side of that, not only the art, but really being able to create a business plan. And designers are often selling, themselves, other salesmen, and the creators, all the things, especially early on. So I just really fell in love with that process. And that's what sparked me to where I am now.
That's awesome. Love the art thing. How are you finding, and I'm always just really curious about this when I run into someone who's an artist, how do you find having that sort of artist mind impacts, helps, hurts the business side?
I love that question because until I met people that were like me, I thought I was like a kind of a little bit crazy because I have this internal war sometimes where I want to do like this thing, and I want to do it in a rote manner. Like I want to do it in order and I want it to be structured. And then I have this other side of me that wants to take off my shoes and run around barefoot in like a flowing dress. And so it creates a bit of a war inside of my head where I have to really think through what I'm trying to accomplish. And that's where I kind of came to just really be able to work with it. Because before it was really frustrating. I would get too much inside of my head and I'd want to dream about it too much. But then part of me wants it to be, to have a schedule and to follow a plan. And that part of me wants to throw the plan out the window. But I really have learned to really recognize like what I'm trying to accomplish and what skill set from either side of that of my personality, for lack of a better word, and how to best utilize that. So it's helped me to be a better creative thinker and to really recognize that if I'm resisting being in a structured setting, to really understand why am I feeling that way? Is it because I'm not supposed to be doing this project, or am I tired? I have to kind of check in with myself, probably a little bit more than people that don't have that. But it's also helped me work with creative people a lot easier, because I understand where they're coming from. And I've actually been gone into businesses where the leader was like, fix my team, like fix this. I can't work. No one wants to come into work and everybody is late. And I discovered they were all creatives, and half of them were forced into admin type roles where they weren't going to be successful because that wasn't their bend. So move them into a media role and change their schedule so they could work at night. Like, there was little things that I did, and I'm able to see that side of people, I think, a lot easier because I have it in myself. Like, people often say, are you an early bird or a late bird? And I said, well, yes, because I can stay up till
I'm
midnight
the same way.
and then I
I am
get up
the
at
same
4:30 in
way.
the morning.
Yeah.
It depends on what my brain needs to do and what I need to accomplish and how in what it kind of a groove I'm in. And I think really just the key, and I already kind of said this, but just to sum it up, is to really just know yourself and how you like to work. And that's how I work with companies, really, is again, I get people to ask me to fix their team all the time. And it really is looking into how people like to work. And I even got a certification on workplace, like how people like to work. And there's a certification for everything. But really studying how to place people in the right seat of the bus, in the right kind of schedule, in the right kind of framework. Because not everybody will be successful if they're crammed into a way of working that doesn't fit the way that they naturally work. So it's really just working with the leader and finding what we can compromise on and all that kind of stuff.
You saying that I can completely relate. It took me years to fully understand when I was resisting the things I was resisting, just like you were saying. But it also makes me wonder, there's this whole back and forth right now with remote work and in the office, and I wonder if that may be where some of that is coming from as well. People are trying to find how they fit and how they work best. And some people work better around lots of people, and some people work better a little bit more isolated. And that's probably not the most fair word, but some people just work better in that remote setting as opposed to having to be in the office every day. And I think that what you were just saying probably ties into that. A lot as well. People just are trying to figure out what's working best for them.
Yeah, and I've worked with companies that are completely remote, but want everybody to be in a structured, like 9-to-5 type environment. And so we really have to work hard in either placing protocols, but also helping the leader understand that it's different when you're working from home. It takes a lot more discipline and it takes a lot more focus. Because there's so many extra distractions. Like, if I'm working in an office, I can't do my laundry while I'm working. And so you just work with the person and say, okay, what's fair and right? And what is a something that absolutely has to be followed, in the workday, and just trying to work. Again, a lot of times leading is about compromising and really finding the middle ground, because the most times people run into trouble is when I hear it's like my way or the highway type of mentality. And we just can't think like that anymore. Not in this day and age, in this society. There has to be more of a team environment, a collaborative environment, especially as the younger people are in the workforce now. Collaboration is really what bends them. Like, when I even work with my kids, and they're very collaborative with their friends and their peers, and they want that in the workplace too. So it's just really trying to find what works best, and old corporate ways of doing business don't exist anymore. I mean, not since COVID for sure.
Absolutely. I also think that innovation has become more and more important in what we do. We have to find new ways of doing everything. And that's where collaboration will really kind of helps. Collaboration really kind of fosters innovation. And the whole my way or the highway way of thinking doesn't foster innovation. It actually fosters the status quo.
Exactly. And it stifles creativity. Because
Absolutely.
most people, even the most, who would call themselves not creative, are still are creative thinkers, because that's just the way we're designed. That's why we dream and we want goals outside of ourselves. And we have to harness that. Like that, I mean, that's the key to teamwork, is really finding where people fit. So there's
Right.
not in the I've seen a lot of like competitive, like, oh, if they get that, then I don't get this. It's like, we look at everybody's skills and what they bring to the table and really redefine how they work together in their roles. That's a lot of time I spend working on that, because it's you can't survive without it. You're not going to be able to pivot in businesses unless we're more flexible.
Absolutely. And more every day. AI is coming in and we have to learn how to flex around that. There's all other kinds of technologies and tools and it changes. Feels like it's changing almost daily, weekly.
Yep. I would agree with that, especially with just all the changes and revelations of that have come from AI. And really, and I was talking to somebody who's now a chief AI officer in a business, and like that's like something you wouldn't even have heard of even 6 months ago. And while I think that's important, I think it's also important to really decide as a business how you're going to use AI responsibly, and teach that to the people that you're, instill that in your culture, so it's not just waiting on one person who's, dealing with the AI. It's just really, okay, it's known and accepted. Because the more that we share these things and put it in our culture, the less people will do things kind of on the side or on the sly, right? Because there's a, there's a danger. Even my youngest was homeschooled, and I would run all of his papers through a plagiarism checker once AI became a thing, because, I don't know what he's doing. The temptation is there. It can write it for you, so why not? But we have to be responsible with AI. And I use it for lots of things, but I also don't use it for lots of things too that other people might be. Just because a human, I work with humans.
But you know what's interesting about that also is, a lot of people are figuring out what the plagiarism checkers and the AI checkers are checking for. So
Right.
now they're, so, we put in regulations and people find ways
True.
to
To
get
work
around them.
around
But
it.
it's just that growth. It's that, continuing to change.
Right. And really know what you're looking for. And I was actually talking to a client too about how the key commodity moving forward is going to be human, the human touch. Because AI is going to be useful and run its course, but we're also going to realize we can't replace every position in our business with an AI agent. Because they'll get it wrong, just like humans get it wrong. It's about
And I've
navigating
seen
this,
that.
right?
I have seen many, many instances of things coming back from an AI perspective. It's like, okay, that's not right. So it's only as good as, the people that created it.
And the people that are editing it. You gotta look at it. You gotta read it, and you have to go, okay, does this sound like? And it's funny, because even before AI, I was accused of being AI-ish because I write very technically. So, and I'm like, well, that's just the way that I mean, I'm really comfortable writing manuals and SOPs and all those things. And so it's step by step and, bullet points or whatever. And I laughed at one point because someone was like, oh, this AI, you used to didn't understand me. And I'm like, well, I didn't use AI. So,
I can understand. I started my career as a technical writer. So process and procedure and it is all about the detail. And so yeah, I can totally see that. And I've also heard that there have been some people like really highly intelligent people who you naturally use the more complex words and things like that that have been flagged. And they were like, no, I actually wrote this. Yeah, I mean, there's always flaws in everything.
Exactly. And it's just, again, finding the common ground and figuring out how to grow, collectively, I think is really the key and where we're moving in businesses, especially with all these businesses and the fractional work, because I do fractional work. So, and if the fractional really just means I'm doing a job, a similar job that someone would pay someone full time for, but I'm doing it for a fraction of the price, and I'm only present, like I'm not there like 40 hours a week. I'm there like 10 hours a week. But I'm still doing the same types of work and achieving the same goals that someone who would be in the office. So, I mean, in that, kind of like AI, it's making something different work, but it costs less for companies, especially for some positions where you don't need to be in the work 40 hours a week. It makes it more interesting for me because I can have more clients and really get into the work of multiple people, and really I really like learning new things and really diving into how things work. I've always been fascinated by that.
So I'm always curious. I know fractional, I mean, there's always been consultants around, and fractional has become a big thing recently because I do think companies are finding value in bringing in people with that kind of expertise without necessarily having to hire a full-time person. How are you finding, like, from a leadership perspective, are you having to find ways to lead differently when you're in that type of role versus if you were, in a full-time position?
You have to have a better boundaries because, like, when you're working full time, you're kind of available 24/7. I mean, well, at least my corporate experience, when I worked full time, it was salary. They could call you at 8 o'clock at night and you had to answer. I mean, that could still happen with some of my clients, but I typically don't answer the phone because they know that I have what's called a how I work document, and it really states very clearly my expectations of them and what they should expect from me, and it includes stuff like response time and availability time, and I think that's really key in that type of working relationship, and that's something I wouldn't have had in the corporate world. It would have just been like, given that I was going to be, there on the terms of, whatever, however anyone else worked. So that's been really helpful. But as far as leading, it's really about, at least the way that I lead, as I go in and whoever is working there full time, and especially if they're in the same department or lane that I'm in, I really try to build them up and empower them to do the work without having to rely on me as a leader. So a lot of times leadership is set up where the people working under us are always pulling on us and saying, okay, what do I need? How do I do this? Where is this? And I learned early on in my career that leaders liked it better when I was proactive and when I was, saying, oh, hey, look what I did, even if it wasn't 100% on the mark. We had something to work with as opposed to waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. And I started out in like the admin BA space because I had my MBA, but I didn't know how to translate that in the online world. And that's kind of where I grew because people realized I wasn't like a typical VA that would be like, what do you need me to do today? Where's my checklist? I would be going in and looking at the systems and kind of creating work for myself, but that was helpful work, not like busy work. So I think for me, it was a natural transition, but I really think that you have to really look at expectations, set up your guardrails, and really lean into empowering others to do the work that they're supposed to do. And to me, that creates a healthy working environment. And I've had good success there because the leader isn't worn out at the end of the day because it's exhausting, what I call drive-bys, where all of a sudden you have people just filtering into your office because you're there and present. In the corporate world, I actually would take flex days and work from home on those days because I knew I wouldn't be disturbed. I got the majority of my work done on those days because I wasn't available for, people to chit chat and or need help on something or pick my brain. That was me. Can I pick your brain on something? My clients still do that, but they do it in their appointed, scheduled meeting time. And if they need me outside of that, I have parameters with depending on the level of service I'm providing them, where they have certain access to me, pretty a la carte throughout the day. And I think that's important too, because a lot of times when you think of fractional work, you want to, I see a lot of people also trying to, bucket the days. Like on this day, I'm with this client, and this day, I'm doing this client, and this day. Well, the flaw in that is if, what if you have a deadline that's not on the day? Or what if you got caught up doing this, then you have to wait a whole week to do something for that client? So I've stacked my days where I look at what's on my plate, depending on the client and the due date and deadline, and then I stack that in and make sure I do all that first thing in the morning because my afternoons can get busy with meetings and kind of Slack messages or WhatsApp, like I'm on every device there is.
Yeah, you have to kind of adapt with each client.
And that's been challenging, but also really good because my parents used to be worried about me because I would adapt to situations and they thought it was just some kind of weird thing, but then they realized it was an asset because I was able to kind of go in and be okay with the situation as opposed to resisting things. But it's still sometimes it makes me want to pull my hair out. So I'm like, I just make it stop. And then I just walk away. I'm like, oh, I can just walk away from my computer and they can't reach me. So that helps. But it is, it's a, and every time I get a new client, there's a level of adaptation that has to happen because I have to learn their style. Oh, and again, the mistake I see people too is that they come in with I have systems and frameworks, but I don't ever go into a client and say, you have to do it this way. Like this is, and that's the biggest mistake I see because the success rate is going to be low because only a certain percentage of people can do it the way that you do it. So I go in and I figure out what works best for them. And then we kind of work backwards from that, as far as adapting the team. Because a lot of times the rub is because there's too many different work styles happening.
Well, you know, every organization is different, and it's important. I have seen the same thing, even just, throughout my career, going into different companies. As an employee, you have to kind of go in and kind of figure out where, what's going on, how do people work, how do you sort of fit into that, and then but then also provide leadership to help them move and grow and reach the goals.
Absolutely. And every job I've had, and even in my fractional work, I'm always looking for that person that's going to replace me. And of course, my coach is always like, why do you do that? That you could have longevity at this client. And I'm like, because I'm not there to be a permanent fixture. I want to impart what I have and help someone else grow into that spot so they can be that person. And then I can move on to the next fun client. But I just think it's a really great And that way I'm not at, you know, I don't get as, I get attached, but not as attached because again, I want to see, I want to see the company grow. And I'll have a lid that maybe the next person, that lid won't, they won't have the same lid as me. We all have lids.
Yeah. You know, everything has a life cycle.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I just got to embrace.
So I've always moved around a lot, and I have moved in and out of corporate roles and then into entrepreneurship, and I've done that, and I tell people, I'm like, this doesn't work for everyone, but it's what works for me. And I don't think I've ever had one single job for longer than, I think 3 years is probably the longest. Because I do like kind of moving out. I had a leader tell me one time, and this has really stuck with me. One of my goals is to work myself out of a job, is to come in and do what I need to do and make it so they don't need me anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly the philosophy I have too. Though I've stayed at jobs longer, but I've about that 3 or 4 year mark, I'm starting to have those thoughts. And usually I overstay because I like the people, but it's been, it's like, okay, it's time for me to move on and I just gotta move on. And definitely have my own business. I'm able to do that. Though I do have clients I've had for several years. But mostly because they're, I like the work and I like the people, but I do have off-ramp periods that are coming up because I've been with them a little bit too long.
So, how do you find, because you do work with a lot of different people in a lot of different environments, how do you find ways to kind of keep yourself sort of consistent? And
That's
consistent
really
might
good.
not be the right word, but like keep yourself kind of in growing in the way that you want to grow yourself while you're helping all of these different kinds of clients.
I learned early on that I needed to set time aside for me. So not just self-care time. I mean, I do get up pretty early and I work out and I walk in the morning and I, you know, do some studies and I read. You know, I have that time blocked off. I used to be a time management coach, so I morning routines are really, really great. But I have mine divided up into, you know, the me personal time, and then I have the me professional time, and then I have the, I need to, you know, do the admin and all the marketing pieces and stuff for my business before I start my client days. 'Cause I have my client load, I can work from, you know, 8 to 5 just on client stuff. And that's not, you know, doing all the things that I need to do for my business. And for a long time, I struggled because I was doing a lot of stuff on the weekends for my business because I needed the time, but then just really looked at my schedule and said, how do I flex this around? Because I was losing myself. I felt like I had created a really big job with multiple bosses, and I was starting to feel like I went to my coach and I said, I'm going to burn it all down. And she goes, what? And I said, I can't, but in that, through that, just knowing that I wasn't taking the time for myself. So now, you know, I have a coach, a regular coach that I work with. Not always the same coach. Every year I kind of evaluate where I'm headed and find a coach that is already walked in that direction and work with them. I got 2 certifications last year just because I don't didn't need the certifications, but I like to sharpen my skills and I like to look at what I do through someone else's eyes as well because it gives me a different perspective and it makes me better at what I do. So I'm always looking for a certification or some kind of a professional development type class. I'm in a mastermind. I'm also in a women's leadership group. I'm always looking. I mean, I don't want to be overscheduled, but I always have something in my schedule that is outside of myself. There's a really great ops group in LinkedIn that I get connected with, and we meet monthly and kind of talk through operations, like what are you experiencing and how are you marketing your business and those kinds of things. And that's really great too, again, just to meet people who are doing the same thing that I'm doing or similarly, and just really connect with them and really be able to see outside of myself. Because I personally, with the logical side of my brain and the creative side of my brain, I will spend way too much time inside my own head.
Yeah.
And when I do that, that's when I start to get, that feeling of wanting to burn it all down
Yeah.
and do something different. Like, I don't know, read on the beach for 3 months.
Right.
But I know if I did that, I would be bored in the first 24 hours
Yeah.
because I like to be connected to people and I love the work that I do. So hopefully that answered your question. It was kind of
Yeah.
a deep dive into my the personal self, but really having a morning routine and I have a hard stop in the evening.
That's important.
I turn my computer off after dinner, and I usually just keep I have a client in California, so I keep it on till after dinner in case something pops up. But I don't take meetings at 8 o'clock. Because I can't I'm no good. Like I will babble because I'm so tired and then I'm stimulated and I'm awake till like midnight because
Yeah.
of the interaction. So I have to start that down winding down process. It starts about 5 o'clock. Typically I walk I have a hard stop at 4:30. I walk after work to kind of let go of the day. I follow up on anything that is absolutely on fire and while I'm cooking dinner and then I'm done. So it's really bookending my days is just help me keep my sanity and really keep a structure because I'm the type of person that could get out of bed at 4 in the morning and work, like do client work all the way to like, 9 o'clock because I like it. I'm a bit of a
Yeah.
workaholic. So I've had to work around myself because I gotta watch at my age, I have to watch my cortisol
Yeah.
level.
Yeah.
So, it's really finding a balance and sticking to it really until it
Yeah.
becomes a habit. And then once it's a habit, then it's good. All good.
Well, thank you for sharing that because I'm always curious about what habits people have. That help them to be successful and get, we just have to figure out ways to get us through to the next day sometimes. And those habits can be critical for that. So I love what you said. I am curious. I always like to ask this question. What advice would you give yourself? Like, kind of knowing what you know now. If you were talking to like a 25-year-old you, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say there's two things. First one would be get out of your head. Because again, I spend a lot of time in my head and I've spent a large, probably less than I'm thinking, but because I'm in my head so much, it feels like a big thing. A lot of my time, especially, the last well, I'm not going to say how many years because I will tell everyone how old I am, but I would say just get out of your head. Like take more risks and put myself out there more because I would get so in my head and I was in the fashion world and I modeled my way through college just to pay, to pay the rent and all the things. And everything in that world is very external. And it kind of forced me more inside of myself because people would only judge me or love me or like me based on what they saw. And that was the perception I had of myself. And it was hard to take risks because I thought, what if I fail? If I fail, then everybody will hate me. You know what I mean? I had this like weird mantra inside of my head that I had to really work through. And I would look at myself at that age now and just say, stop it. Like I say, my son is like this too. And I tell him, stop it. Like just do what you're passionate about and do that and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, then find something else. Like I felt at that time also like I was on a track, right? And that track was moving forward in a direction that I had determined, and not knowing that I could get off that track at any time. So that would be one thing. And the other thing would be, oh, I talk so much, I think I lost it. Would be to just, well, to relax, really. My resting stress is like an 8, normally, naturally. So I would just say relax, take more time off. It's not the end of the world. Like if you miss a few days of work, it's nothing is going to crash and burn. And if it does, then we need a better system around it. And I would have started working for myself a lot earlier had I had the confidence, because I really enjoy kind of doing my own thing and making my own rules. But back then, I didn't believe that I could make my own rules. I felt like I had to stick to the corporate path, and if I wasn't in fashion design, then I had to be an admin and, work through office management and all the things. And it could have been different, but it's okay. It was what it was. But yeah, that really is. I had something else I was going to say, but it like slipped out of my head because I was thinking so hard about thinking in my own head.
Yeah, that's okay. That happens.
But I think that, and like what I tell my son who just started college, it's like just be yourself. For some reason, when I was in my 20s, I didn't think it was okay to be myself. And it is okay. Like if people don't like you for yourself, then whatever.
There's other people.
Exactly. We don't have to be liked by everybody, and that's true. I mean, I tell the people that when they're like, oh, sales and this I need, it's like find the right client, find the right clientele and work with them, because you'll be much happier than if you take on everybody. I've done that too. Early on, I took on all the people and went, why am I working with these people? But I know how to do it better now. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. That is great advice. I love that advice.
Thank you. Oh, don't overcomplicate things. That was the other thing.
Oh,
Because I'm
yeah.
in my own head, I like to overcomplicate things and create stories around things. Because, in a vacuum, we can create any kind of story we want about, any situation. And it's like, stop the stories, stop overcomplicating it. Keep it simple.
That is great advice. I need to take that advice.
I have to remind myself that too.
All right. So I have to ask you. We met through a shared project. So we've been working on a book together, the two of us and a few other authors. So would love for you to maybe share a little bit about your experience with that and tell us a little bit about that. The book is going to be launching soon. And would love to hear about your experience with it. And I have had a chance to read your chapter and it's great. I love the information you shared. It's all about leading with systems and how having the right systems can help. Help your success, help you be just be a better leader with your team. So I love the topic. And I'd just love to hear a little bit more about your experience with that.
Well, it was great. I mean, the group of voices that you've curated are, they're an amazing group of women. And you sent a really early release of the book, and I've been reading through it. There's some really amazing things in there. So it's going to be great once it's open to the public. I'm really looking forward to hearing what people have to say. But working with you on it was a really great experience. I've written a chapter in a book before, and I felt really lost in that process. Like I didn't know what to write. And even then, like people are like, oh, you're in this other book. And I'm like, I don't even promote it because I don't even want to. It ended up being a promotional piece for somebody else because I wasn't sure what to write and I wasn't really given much direction. So your process was really great where you just said, what do you want to talk about? And then we kind of talked through the outline. And then the overachiever and myself wanted to be the first person to submit my chapter, though I know that I wasn't, but I was the first person that had
Actually, you no,
it.
you were.
I
You were
was.
actually, yes.
That's funny. I was also going to be traveling, so I wanted it to be done before, ahead of my trip because of our deadline. But and just the editing process, I mean, you gave me great feedback, and I was excited to add the pieces that you asked me to add. And hopefully it'll land on people, and it's practical advice because
Yes.
that's just the way that I am. Like, I like to keep it uncomplicated and really straightforward because, again, we overcomplicate things all the time. And business doesn't have to be complicated. There's too many moving parts to overcomplicate it. It just makes it
Yeah.
run slower. So, yeah, I love the process. So I wasn't able to attend our meetings again because of my own structure. It's like that. I had a hard stop and I tried to come in, but the time of day is just difficult for me to, with other things that I had going on. But you communicated well, and I didn't ever feel like I was out of the loop because I wasn't able to be at the meetings. So it was a really great experience, and I would highly recommend, working with you on a project like this in the future.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And for the audience, we'll have information in the show notes about the book if you're interested in that, as well as information about Jen. So if you're looking to connect with Jen, you want to connect with Jen and learn more about her, that will be out there as well. So
Awesome. Appreciate that.
getting ready to wrap up. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I've really enjoyed it. I guess I didn't realize how many similarities we had, but I see so many things, in a lot of what you were saying. But tell me a little bit about what's next for you, or what interesting things do you have going on right now?
Well, writing this chapter sparked me to create an outline for a book on operational leadership. It really the leading with just blanked on the title of my chapter, leading it just really just writing the chapter just made me feel really passionate to the point where I wrote a manifesto. Oh, it sounds really creepy when I say manifesto, but it's such a fun word to say. Of really what I believe about operations and business, and that sparked like looking at chapters and writing a full-blown book on operational leadership because I think that it's something that we miss as leaders
Yeah.
because we're so focused on all the things, but operations is like the foundation and the glue that holds the organization together, and also helping leaders step out of the day-to-day and really feeling bogged down, like I shared earlier, with like all the questions and the drive-bys and all the things. Like there's things, processes and empowerment that we can do on our teams that really will help mitigate a lot of that, pressure and the weight that we feel from leading other people. So I'm looking forward to that. And I actually just recently started a newsletter on LinkedIn, which is really awesome. Yeah, I started blogging again. Like this whole process is sparked in the writing. I love to write, but it was one of those things that it was like, oh, it takes too long and all the thing, I put it off. And so I just recently started, do it. I released it today, actually, my LinkedIn newsletter. So it's like a version of my blog that I'm producing, and so that came out today, and I just look forward to working with clients. I do the fractional work, but I also work with people in 3 month, 6 month, 12 month arrangements, depending on the needs of the business. So it can be really short term. I can meet with you just for a whole day, and we can work through things. I'm pretty flexible. It's really what the business needs and what will help them, like, reconstruct or reconfigure the business so it actually is flowing more and it feels easier.
I love that. I am looking forward to reading the newsletter.
Thanks.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. And I love the fact that and I knew this wouldn't happen with everyone, but I love the fact you're not the first person I've talked to, or one of the authors in the book that said this has sparked an interest in writing more, which I was kind of hoping that would happen. You can't always predict it, but I just think everybody has like unique, interesting stories to tell, and we should do everything we can to share those with the world because it makes the world a better place when we share our
Absolutely.
stories.
And I love to read. Like, I am an avid reader. When I people laugh at me. When I married my husband, I get up early and he sleeps in late. And we were in Hawaii, which I was in California at the time, so that's still 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours difference. I was getting up, in the middle of the night, and I had read 16 novels in the 10-day honeymoon
Oh
that
my
we had. And people were like, "Were you
gosh.
supposed to be on your honeymoon?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but when he's asleep, I had to do something." So I had they had like a we stayed at a camp thing. It was military, but it was beautiful on the beach, and they had like a lending library there with all these novels in it. I mean, they weren't like War and Peace or anything, but still,
Right.
I love
The
to
vacation
read.
books. Yeah.
Yeah, I love to
Yeah.
read, and I'm always reading something.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
awesome. I love that. So, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You sharing all of your stories, and I'm sure the listeners have gotten a lot out of this as well. So,
Awesome. Well,
so
thank you.
I appreciate your time. I appreciate your sharing your knowledge.
I appreciate you having me on. It's been great
Yes.
getting to know you in this process.
Yes, same. Same. All right. Well, thank you to the listeners. Thank you for listening and be watching out for more stories coming soon. Have a great day.
For joining us on Leadership Portraits. We hope today's conversation has inspired you and offered valuable insights for your own leadership journey. At Leadership Portraits, we believe in the power of authentic storytelling. Every leader's path is unique, filled with triumphs and challenges that shape their approach. It's these real stories that truly resonate and teach us the most. We have made it our mission to provide a platform where leaders can share their experiences openly, embracing both successes and setbacks. The diverse leadership styles we showcase remind us that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to effective leadership. Now, we want to hear your story. Your experiences and insights matter. Whether you're a seasoned executive or an emerging leader, your narrative has the power to inspire others. We invite you to reach out to us at leadershipportraits.com. Let us help you share your story with the world. Together, we can continue to build a rich tapestry of leadership wisdom that ignites inspiration across industries and cultures. Remember, every leader has a story worth telling. What's yours? This has been Leadership Portraits. Until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and keep sharing your journey.